ChatGPT has recently made the move to integrate more and more apps into the product, for example, booking.com. Is this also something that you could see happening for Home2Go?
I actually looked at a demo 2 days ago on an MCP Home2Go alpha product, if you will, that brings our inventory and search experience onto platforms.
Would you agree that the current time is one of the most exciting times since SEO has become a thing?
SEO has always evolved and always changed, but it never changed that much. I feel like this is the biggest fundamental change to, well, probably our society in total.
What didn't we talk about that we should have talked about?
Maybe very specific, but one thing that...
Before we dive in, you're listening to the Masters of Search podcast with me, your host, Niklas Buschner. Each week, I sit down with some of the smartest people around the world in SEO and AI search to bring you their strategies, mental models, and top pieces of actionable advice. If you enjoy this podcast, don't forget to like and subscribe and follow it in your favorite podcasting app or YouTube. It helps us get top-notch guests and create the best possible content for you. Let's dive into today's episode. My guest today is Felix Welkenbach, Director of Product for Search and Discovery at Home2Go, a marketplace where millions of travelers book their next dream vacation rental. In this episode, we'll talk about how SEO is not a marketing function anymore at Home2Go, but a product capability, what this actually means in the day-to-day, which companies should also think about making a similar change, and why you shouldn't just measure your AI visibility, but put more emphasis on the sentiment. I'm very much looking forward to digging deeper into all of those. So welcome to the podcast, Felix.
Thanks for having me.
So cool that you agreed to come on. And thanks to Malte also for tagging you publicly under my post where I asked for new guests, so that there was a lot of pressure for you to actually agree to do this.
Yeah, you finally convinced me having asked a few times. And thanks, Malte, for making the match.
Thanks, Malte. Malte is great. You recently moved from your old title, which was Director Organic Growth, to Director Product Search and Discovery. And I'd like to know what this is about.
So maybe for context, at Home2Go, I think very early on, back then, my colleague Dominik Schwarz, who you might know, set up what we called inbound marketing at Home2Go, which was always a combination of SEO and PR. And those teams worked very closely together to build up landing pages, ultimately landing experience that perform well in search on the on-site part, and then a PR team and strategy around building authority to data-led storytelling that led to coverage in media over the years. And that model's been proven pretty successful. I think fast forwarding now to the era of AI search, maybe it's a model that, you know, we started quite early, which, you know, many companies now pivoting to. I'll come to that later. And then I took that over, and that role pivoted into a growth role where it still included anything organic traffic acquisition, so from SEO to PR, but also social media. And then as Home2Go as a company grew, we've done many acquisitions over the past years. We started out when I joined as a scale-up still, we are now a public company with a big B2B part and as part of the marketing, the marketplace side and organization. We realized that there's a lot more scope on the SEO and product side. And so while we've always historically been quite product-led, we intensified that ultimately to refocus on SEO. So that's my previous role of Director Organic Growth. And that means that we've always treated SEO as a product, even in the previous setup, but now with a lot more focus with a dedicated engineering team. We had a common OKRs and goal set that the teams worked towards too. And this king book maps that we shipped ultimately. And what we then realized, and while we made that ultimate switch at the end of last year search and discovery, is that there was a lot of inefficiencies happening internally. So while we're having a dedicated engineering team working on SEO landing pages, that have a lot of shared components with the actual search experience, it felt like it was distinct and we're building something that had big overlap with the main product already. And so that's why we ultimately said, let's reorganize that and let's combine our efforts. And on top of that, we also saw the search landscape is somewhat changing. Our landing page historically were very, very broad, destination focused, had a lot of content, in-depth content. We saw that the SERP had become a lot more transactional over time. So it also warranted a change internally on how we organize for that. And then in an environment where there's less and less traffic going to the open web, and I think we get to that later as well, we also noticed lower click-through rates in Google search over time, and hence more focus on conversion. And so we also said that all the conversion benefits that we are working on, and I still, in this example, call it actual products, so the actual search and browsing experience users have, is something that we also want to make sure that SEO benefits from and cut down on the inefficiencies. Yeah, and as a result, made that change. And it's in a very interesting new view, and super excited to now be responsible for all of that. And on top of that on-site discovery part, which now spans across anything from front door to inclusive still of SEO landing pages, the actual search and browsing experience, to the property details pages, all the way leading up to the checkout, it also does include the off-site visibility and discovery part, which is inclusive of, yeah, I mentioned SEO landing pages, but also LLM search, AI search.
And what would you say, what is the biggest change connected to that transition from your perspective personally also? Because I think it's also very interesting from a leadership perspective, but then also for the organization as a whole.
It's next to all the organizational changes that were part of this and then the structural changes, it's ultimately also having wider responsibilities. So for context, as a group, I mentioned already Home2Go has a marketplace side where our team is focused on. And we also have what we call Home2Go Pro, a B2B arm, and software as their services that we provide to the industry. And as part of that, it's a complex product with multiple brands. So compared to other bigger, larger OTAs, we have a multi-brand and portfolio strategy, which means that the underlying technology that's powering everything is pretty much the same. Yet we have different configurations based on the white label and brand we are serving. So you can think about Home2Go Group as a portfolio approach when it comes to brands. It's between, I think, over 10 brands now, over 30 markets. So it's quite a big, complex organization around it that our team is looking after. And so the whole scale just massively changed. Whereas we always treated SEO as a product in terms of how we build it and how we collaborate engineering, but still very zoomed in on the SEO part. And then now it's almost like we entered into a new room where all of a sudden you see all the other aspects of product as well, and having exposure to a lot more different stakeholders with a lot of different requirements. And so it definitely needed a change process to transition people also into new roles. So that was, I think, the biggest realization as of now, to say we are also still transitioning. So this is something we started end of last year. And one of the biggest difference I noticed is that in SEO, even though it was product-led, I think we think about solutions quite a lot, right? Like, we need this implemented in a certain way, like to certain technical specifications, whereas being responsible for the wider product now, which includes all the other channels from brand direct to SEM to affiliate to CRM, that's ultimately channeling traffic to the product, all of a sudden it's more about defining customer problems and outcomes we want to shape and spending time on problem definition. And so that was, I think, one of the biggest realizations, to shift our minds from this is solution A I want to implement, to all right, what is the actual problem? How can we frame it? How can we validate it? What does the testing strategy look like? So a change process that was needed, and I think a real benefit as well that product managers we had that worked in SEO before, now also were able to expand their horizon. And I see the team thriving in that new environment. I think everyone is liking that new challenge. It comes with, you know, a lot of additional requirements to creating transparency to the stakeholders we are responsible for now and talk to, right? Like across the marketplace, across the Home2Go Pro segment. And the way I led this in my role as lead for the team is to also give people the room for, you know, and I understanding the domain, starting out with diving into certain aspects of the product or even sub-product and build the knowledge from the ground up, so almost from the bottom up, rather than trying to understand everything at the same time. And we did that change at a very interesting time, beginning of the year, which is our annual goal setting and planning, but also our OKR setting and goal planning for Q1. So we were thrown into the deep end, but in my judgment so far, the verdict so far is that it's working out really well. And the team is liking the change, and we're delivering against our goals and are slowly adapting to that new environment.
Let's go through the shift a little bit. You mentioned already that something you saw were inefficiencies that might have been a trigger. I want to understand a little bit better what you saw and maybe also what your thoughts were, and then also how you like came up with this idea, because if people are listening to this and they feel like, maybe this is also for us, maybe not, I don't know. I think it's important for people to understand what to look for, to understand if they might also have to go into that direction.
So what we saw were a few things. I think it started with market dynamics, search dynamics overall, as in customer behavior. What are customers searching for? How often frequently are they searching for? So we saw quite a lot of volatility in terms of search volume of segments that users are, or keyword segments users were searching for, all the way from, you know, pre-COVID, through COVID, and then the years after. So there's quite a lot has adapted. And at the same time, we saw SERP changes, right? We're all aware of how the SERP has evolved also since then. I think there's a lot more transparency around pricing. So we think about the Google Hotel Finder, the Vacation Rental Finder, and Google's willingness to become the category of, you know, the category search landing page. And so this is where we saw also an opportunity to, for example, think about how can we then serve property details pages to Google, which we historically never did before. And this is something that in the previous setup was a bit tricky to do, because it wasn't necessarily our core competency, and the product itself wasn't really set up for all of a sudden to be receiving search traffic, right? It was built almost in isolation. Our team was owning landing pages that were built specifically for SEO. So as we thought about how to make the product itself that is serving millions of customers more search friendly almost, we realized that we also need to then organize around that and make sure that, part of what I touched on previously, we are able to A/B test efficiently, that if we touch, let's say, an offer card and the information about a property that we show to users twice, because once we do it on SEO landing pages and then once we do it in the product, these were the inefficiencies we started noticing. And while I'm a big fan of actually of having had that ability to drive a dedicated roadmap with an engineering team, because it made us super fast, there were almost no dependencies. We were able to ship it. We built up a ton of visibility over time. We saw that changing after, and I think it's also visible in visibility development. And so that came on top, that all of a sudden the approach we had followed wasn't really quite working, and the way forward entailed a lot of real product work on the common product to make it more accessible to search engines, as we saw that demand shifting more towards towards those page types, Google incentivizing users that via SERP changes. And so the conclusion was, we need to change something. And ultimately then decided, instead of multiple product teams working on different ends of the product, combine it all and create one layer of responsibility, which is then ultimately our team.
But it sounds, if things are more complicated now, like you have to align with more different stakeholders, you have to bridge the gap between how to build the best product and how to build the best product in a way that it's also built for discovery and built for search. So would you agree that it's like more complicated now to ship stuff with a new setup?
It is more complicated, which in part, that's where the fun is. That's the challenge we took on. At the same time, if you look at the maturity of the SEO product, I would say that we reached a pretty high maturity rate based on, well, performance, time spent over the years, A/B testing done over the years. And in that new environment now where we have the common product, I think then it is more complex, but then the opportunity we still have ahead of us is only going to be realized if we work cross-team and if we take a look at the product as a whole. I think that's the distinction before of having an SEO landing page that's kind of outlining what we do, right? Like normally a setup structurally would be we're having a bunch of offers on that landing page, because what is the main intent? If you search for vacation rentals in Florida, you want vacation rentals in Florida. So we gave users that, but it was accompanied by a lot of content, for example, by different filters or different features of property types. Does it have a hot tub, for example? Does it have a pool? Can I bring my pet? So landing pages were complex. Nevertheless, they were still sort of only windows into what we have on offer. And once you click on that landing page, you would be transported to that actual search experience that we have. So there was still one step in between. And what we realized is that having that one step in between is somewhat unnecessary. I think we used to have it and we needed it, because just like a few years back, as I mentioned, A, the product wasn't set up that way. Second, these landing page setups and designs and layouts worked really well for us. And so there wasn't any need to combine it back then. But, you know, fast forward, here we are. We have that need. And I'm convinced that a landing page where the main user intent that lands on is actually finding, combining, and browsing properties, and then ultimately booking one for your holiday, must be the same page as the landing page, right? It doesn't make sense to combine it any longer if there's no structural, technical, whatever reason. And so this is the mission we set out to do, to combine where that makes sense, where it drives upside, especially in the maybe more transactional keyword segments, where the real intent, as we know and measured, is exactly that. And we have some early proof as well that those landing page types now drive additional and enhanced conversion rate, if you will. So for like comparison, the new landing page type that we are testing, which is the core product, is working better than the previous page.
And can you walk us through maybe one change or maybe a project that is currently in progress, just for people to maybe understand a little bit better what are changes now that are happening in terms of to the actual product, like how the product is changing, how pages are changing, maybe something that came up now. I know you're still early in the phase, but already from the new collaboration circles that you established.
Yeah. So one project that we're working on currently is to ultimately combine the landing experience with the core product for some of our brands and some of the keyword segments. And exactly what you mentioned, it did require all of a sudden that we talk to other stakeholders, right? Because then search and SEO was one stakeholder, but there were many other stakeholders involved. And so when we first created the vision for how that should look like, we included everyone that has a stake in that. So it was other product managers, it was other parts of the organization, the partner and the supply team. It was also the demand team on the marketing side. And then a large stakeholder, if you will, of course, also the engineering and tech teams, meaning that we needed to understand what complexity is behind, you know, serving the product from a common URL, serving the product with ultimately, underneath the same stack. And a very concrete aspect, for example, is filtering. If we want certain facets of the product, let's say a vacation rental with a pool, to come to that as one of the most popular amenities in our industry. If we want that to be indexed, we needed to make it available. We needed to link it internally. And so this was then something previously not really necessary. Needed to be available for the user, but now it needs to also be search engine readable. And so I think there's a few decisions and trade-offs that needed to be made along the way to ensure, are we getting the best of both worlds here, and also some sort of flexibility, right? So for example, we have a lot of traffic still coming from SEO, from SEM. That's a large chunk of our traffic next to brand and other channels that is landing on the actual search results page of HomeToGo. Right, users land and then they have the ability to filter, set their dates, refine their searches, etc. Now that means that we also need some certain personalization ability, meaning a user from SEO might need to see different elements on slightly different order. So the ability to also personalize and segment the product based on the referrer, based on the context and information users have, and so it wasn't a single decision from the SEO team anymore, but required other stakeholders to be involved. One of the topics that's still open and in discussion is how do we approach A/B testing, right? Like, what do we do about, and how do we transfer our what we use to what we are calling CI testing or causal inference testing. So SEO A/B testing, how do we combine that with a now focused or much more CRO focused A/B testing on the product side? How do we bring both together, and so we can allow and test for what's working well to impact ultimately rankings, and also as a channel of that now, LLM visibility and AI search visibility, while at the same time, we make sure that we can run A/B tests, which we do run a lot of in parallel in the product every day. And so it just requires you to think about other stakeholder requirements at the same time also an ability to compromise, because if you have your solution in mind, this is exactly how it will look like, it's likely not going to work if SEO and search is not the main stakeholder, but there's many others at the same time. And so, that's maybe an example of how that process is going and on how we're approaching it.
And you said that you just started the transition. Basically, what do you expect? How long will it take? How would you say, having all systems operational, if you want to call it like that?
Yeah, that process will be going on for a little longer. I think on the team side, we've made that initial transition. People are ramping up on the domain. I think they're becoming experts in their sub-product. And especially that unification project I mentioned, will probably still take the majority of this year. For sure, H1, and then leading into probably the third quarter of this year, potentially the fourth quarter as well.
And can you share a little bit maybe about what's on the roadmap now for the new search and discovery product? So something that, obviously, I don't want you to spoil any secrets, but something that is on the horizon that maybe also people listening to that are passionate users of HomeToGo, to search for their next vacation, what can they expect to be brought to the product?
Yeah, there's a few themes that we are thinking about in terms of, features. I don't like to think in features only, more so how can we enhance the customer experience as a whole, right? And end-to-end across all the different touch points. And one of the major goals this year is to drive further repeat and retention. So ensuring that the product experience that we're building is also leading to more customers coming back through organic channels, direct through app. We are also very focused on pricing and providing excellent prices and discounts, any communications around that. Our industry is very price competitive. I mentioned Google is also creating a lot of price transparency by allowing users to compare ultimately also in the vacation rental finder already very early on. I'm sure LLMs will get there. We've seen the advances in e-commerce, especially with the, I think it's UCP from Google, ChatGPT, their own protocol ultimately to also allow price comparison and discovery and shopping on LLMs exactly. Then not surprisingly, AI is a big one. We actually just today released a press release and announcement that we worked on a new version of what we group as Dash, which is our AI companion and AI features on the marketplace. So it's a chatbot ultimately that you can ask questions to about the property, what aspects of the property, what aspects of your booking. And we were really able to cut down the amount of agent escalations that previously happened for the bot. So normally the process was you had a problem, you couldn't find the answer, you would call us up or send us an email. Now we have that customer service and chatbot for customers in between. They would use it and they would get answers to questions right away. I'd like around the property again, and cancellation policies look like, etc. And then our customer service teams can focus a lot more about helping customers that have longer lasting questions or questions that need more research or help them with the booking even, for example. And we have already a variety of features that are live. Not all of them are live on all channels like web and app, but for example, we are summarizing reviews and we are thinking more about how can we make reviews more accessible? How can we group them by topics, for example? And we have summaries of our descriptions, offer descriptions, meaning you don't have to read through 5 paragraphs of text. We can give you a summary of what the property really is about, what's exciting about it, and make it a lot more accessible and easier for users to compare, right? And how I think about the product journey is that right now there's a lot of cognitive load on the user to make a decision. We show them every information and they need to make a call based on that. I think going forward, I like to get a lot more personalized with the recommendations, understanding user behavior based on the signals they leave on the site, and then tailoring the product accordingly and making sure we show only the most important amenities for that user in time for those searches that they do, and not everything. And so a lot happening on the personalization and segmentation side as well. We have a lot of users that come to us and travel with pets, for example. So how can we make their choice easier, right? Their decision making easier by, for example, highlighting properties that are very pet friendly in an easy and approachable way. And then there's a large bucket of initiatives that are further around even search abilities, if you will. So for example, enabling more semantic search. Even today, we experimented with a filter that allows you to put free text search. So if you like your A-frame houses, classic example, or you like a certain architectural style of a property that you want to stay in, we allowed you to put that into a filter. We would match that against our database of offers in a semantic way, having understanding of imagery on what images are about. And this is something we are also further thinking about. So how can natural language be used to further enhance the experience, to highlight more properties, to find properties that you wouldn't have otherwise found, and make that journey a bit more exciting and tailored to how you are searching, right? Because we all know, you know, in Google, we can see it already. Everyone is forced to kind of use the product in a way that the product is best operating at, if that makes sense, versus now in AI search, you can put in whatever you like. And we see that in the variety of data, in ways how people prompt and search and speak. And ultimately, this is what we would we also like to enable more on the HomeToGo marketplace side.
And I mean, historically, obviously, things are also changing a lot in organic growth. People in SEO and people in search are used to think about KPIs like maybe Systrix visibility index, rankings, traffic. Now, obviously, you also mentioned that that has shifted way more to critical business results like signups, conversions, revenue. Now, the product world, I'm not a product guy, but from what I know, for example, from smart people, is they look at customer satisfaction survey, like CSAT score, NPS, NRR, net revenue retention, all of that.
Yeah.
What is a set of KPIs that you, as far as you can share, that you agreed on, like in the new setup that everybody will work towards? Because I could imagine that this is also something that needed a little bit of alignment.
Yeah, you're right. And I think the big benefit we have is that at HomeToGo, we've always operated very performance-driven and especially revenue-driven. So while visibility is part of our goal set, just to have a top-line benchmark, there's always been quantitative measurement in terms of traffic, conversion rates, things like revenue per user, and ultimately revenue that the channel at a whole drove. And connected to, you know, how are we organizing internally and like how's that shift going, I think this made the shift easier, if anything, because we are speaking a common language already. And the common language is the customer outcome event, right? Like what customer outcome do we want to drive that is ultimately beneficial for the business? And that's revenue, that's measured in revenue. The few strategic measurements that we're adding on the product side, our users are checking out on site, or is like how can we drive bookings that drive bookings of users that check out on site on the marketplace, one of the strategic measures, for example. But ultimately, the common denominators is bookings and revenue. And I think on the marketplace side, hence why also that move from SEO, if you will, into that new org is made a bit easier, is that historically we've been working together across the marketplace sites already, right? Like SEO sat sort of at the intersection. But in my mind, you can't separate the demand side or the marketing side from the product side and from the partner side, because on the marketplace, they're often very intertwined. They have a lot of trade-offs. They need a lot of alignment. And so that alignment is a lot easier if you have a common metric that speaks to it. And then you can break down that metric, right? And say, okay, what is a leading indicator for maybe a lagging metric like revenue to go up? And then you can have maybe more specific operational metrics for the partner team for a common goal, for an SEO team for a common goal, and maybe even a partner team for a common goal. And then we can drive those together. So this is how we think about planning overall. It's an adapted OKR framework, but that common metric is super important. And yeah, rankings, visibility do play a role, but ultimately we are measured by outcome, customer outcome that we changed. And, you know, the output of that is revenue for the business. And so that's also how we measure it.
And if you think about other companies, what would you say, which companies should maybe make a similar move or at least consider making a similar move like HomeToGo?
Yeah, it's a very good question. I think it depends a bit on your business model, ultimately, what type of company you are, B2B, B2C. This product-led setup, for example, is, I think, well suited for marketplace. I think in my career, marketplace is sort of the common trade. Started out in dating and matchmaking and like live entertainment ticketing, ultimately travel and vacation rentals. I see commonalities between, you know, the setup there, and so I'd say it depends as well on that. So what is your ultimate what's your ultimate setup and your goal set, but also what relevance does search, SEO, AI search have for your product? And then we haven't quite touched on how it interlinks with LLM visibility, but ultimately what we see in change user behavior is that more and more of the decision-making process is almost like front-loaded to LLMs, meaning that research being done about products like, for example, we have a channel management software in the group called Smoobu. And as a host, you can download, as a host, you can sign up for Smoobu, and then you can create a property, or if you have multiple properties also in there, and you can sync calendars across multiple sites. For example, it's an OTS that you like to list. So it's very helpful product for hosts that want to maximize their exposure and not do any manual work on syncing calendars, setting pricing, et cetera, individually. And so what we saw there is that's a product where normally there's quite some research involved, meaning what players are in the market, what are the pros and cons. And we saw that there is a lot of that happening in LLMs already. And we know that because we see, generally speaking, that there is that traffic is more engaged, of higher value, and better converting. It's definitely fewer traffic or less traffic than, you know, maybe Google was sent before, and then the share is still small. But A, it's growing, and B, I think we're seeing that that traffic is of higher quality. So I think the decision is, do we as a business want to be working on that presence, A, in AI search, and is SEO and revenue from search engines relevant for us? And how much of that is then, let's say, maybe more marketing driven via dedicated content landing pages, and how much of that is actually part of the core product experience? And I think these could be then denominators to decide, all right, should I organize for that internally as well, or am I comfortable with having different teams? And I don't think it's a right or wrong answer. It really depends on, you know, your goals, your models, your traffic mix, and maybe the anticipated mix that you'd like to have. That really informs that.
And if people would start the journey, what do you think? What is that they have to get right? Like, do they have to have certain people with certain roles? Do they have to get the alignment right? Do they have to have a couple of first projects on the roadmap? Or what is it that, yeah, if you say, yes, I will do it, Felix, you convinced me, thanks. nice episode. But what is critical for success here?
Yeah, very important question. Few things come to mind. One is, you need leadership alignment and a structure that promotes that. Meaning, if there's a product team and an SEO team that make a decision to work together, yet senior leadership and management is not really bought in and not really on board with that, it won't work. Right? So A, that team has to do some convincing, get their buy-in, ultimately make their case. But I think there needs to be alignment top-down around how we want to organize our team. So I think that's one. Second is a clear case of what are we getting out of this combination of teams and responsibilities ultimately. And it's not a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Like, just we do it because we do it. It's like, in my mind, there should be business case behind it. So the outcome should be better for the business in that combined sense, whatever that means, right? A higher revenue through maybe better search performance, for example, or lower cost because of lower engineering hours spent on two different products that are ultimately converging. There should be a clear case behind it. And if there is a clear case behind it, I think the last bit is to also organize for it. And what that means is, in organizations I've been part of and worked in, I don't think there's been a single one that has said, oh, we like silos and we like to work in silos. I think in every single organization, there was a push for, let's work on more topics together, let's drive topics together, let's work more cross-channel. So, you know, all these almost a bit like generic phrases, I've heard a lot, but it really comes down to is having actual projects that you can work on together, right? So that's the other part, and it's connected to the second, which is the business case. So in our case, it was building a product together that we think can perform better in search, in LLMs, but ultimately also for our users. And so there's a common project that we work on, right? Or there's other technical aspects and from it on, you know, if that's, for example, inclusive of server-side rendering, great. Then we have another stakeholder on board that's ultimately driving this, and we can work on this together, right? Or if we are thinking about if we know that we are dependent on the partner side, for example, in order to provide data from our supply partners that ultimately lead to how we communicate pricing or show discounts in a product, then that's how common, you know, this is a common project that we can then build. And so I would, yeah, so it's, you know, it needs also substance, and it needs a roadmap of these common projects going forward in order to make it successful. Because otherwise you can set some goals maybe, you can have the writing on the wall, but unless there's any concrete action steps and any concrete projects to work on, then I think this like common ownership approach is probably not going to work.
Another topic that you're passionate about and that we somehow touched on a little bit with AI search and visibility, and that I also mentioned in the intro, is AI search tracking. But I know from us talking before this recording that you are approaching it slightly different than most people. So can you share a little bit about what you're doing there?
Yeah, good point. Not sure it's super different to what others do. So maybe for context, we started also early on to try to understand AI search visibility, right? First and foremost, because curious of what's happening, of how we are ranking up and performing and benchmarking against other, often larger OTAs. And as part of that, I was looking for some solution. We found one. And I'm also totally aware of the limitations, right? This big debate going on, you know, how representative it is. For me, when I first started it was almost R&D, doing some research, like trying to understand. I knew it was not probably, in the beginning, with tracking only a handful of prompts, not very representative of the whole market of users within AI search, but it's also not needed, right? I just wanted a snapshot. And oftentimes you have a snapshot. That snapshot sparks some conversations internally. It can then create a buy-in, start a project. All of a sudden, you know, it gets the ball rolling. And this is also what happened here. And we even used, side note, our AI search visibility, for example, once we had tracked it more comprehensively in an earnings call. And the message was, look, Home2Go is a lot more visible than most of our larger OTAs competitors in like classic search, and here's the picture in AI search. So we had some proof that what we were doing previously had also had good impact and positive impact on our AI search visibility. Most and foremost, I believe, because we had done extensive PR work over the years that led to high quality coverage in essentially all the top newspapers in Europe and even the US. And so that set us up really well for also doing well in AI search. We talked about this and published that. And yeah, as I said, I think that got the ball rolling internally to think about how can we tactically approach it. Nevertheless, there's still a lot of shortcomings. And to your point, coming to, you know, what are we doing differently? We started early on to try to use LLMs almost as a customer market research instrument, meaning that one of the first things we did was, next to setting up prompt tracking, is to compare and benchmark ourselves to our competitors, right? And even just qualitatively, and say, oh, what are, for example, associations that you have with the likes of Airbnb and Booking.com and VRBO that you have with Home2Go? And what are associations with these brands that you don't have with Home2Go, and why? And then we got a pretty good list of ideas of what LLMs think of us based on the entirety of the internet, if you will. And I think my takeaway, our team's takeaway was, well, if that's something LLMs know, there's a chance that customers know as well, right? And that they see the limitations or the opportunities we have there. And so how we approached it then was to break that down a bit further and try to structure it. We haven't built any tooling around it, but ultimately this sort of the next step, we do this on multiple accounts. So A, on the PR team to also identify what are narratives out there about our brand that we can double down on, and what are maybe even narratives that we need to create because customers or LLMs out there don't seem to understand that about our brand. Like it's something that we understand about ourselves, but for some reason, we haven't spread that message before, or we haven't really talked about this much in our marketing. And so now we have an indication that we can and we should. And the next step then is measuring, is that changing the narratives perceived, and what is the impact on customers that we see because of that? So that's one thing we do. And then, yeah, maybe an example on, I think just last week, my HR team approached me and said, oh, we've done some research on LLMs about our employer brand. So where do we have an opportunity to influence what potential candidates for open roles think about our HomeToGo? And I found that super interesting because I think internally, we naturally leaned into the AI search side. I think within the SEO team, we had a lot of understanding of how people search, their intent, how we build products that cater for it. We had the relationships to different stakeholders like tech team, the PR team. But I really loved seeing that it is not gatekept by us, right? It's not us that had to do it, like us as an SEO team, but it sparked some interest within the company to also use LLMs and use AI search for the same exercise ultimately. And I was really happy to see that, this is the development.
That's a super cool and also very interesting an example. And I immediately thought about OpenAI and Anthropic. They both should probably also do the same. Like you go to Claude and then you go to ChatGPT and you enter, hey, I want to apply for a role at OpenAI and Anthropic. Where should I go? And then they also should put their like AI search or whatever teams on shaping the narratives. But yeah. Can you share a little bit how you approach it practically? Like if I would, for example, want to start it doing for Radiant, would you recommend just having some prompts like tracking stuff? What do you know about Radiant? Is Radiant a good employer? Is what do you know about their agency Radiant? We're considering working with Radiant. What do you know about them? Is that how you would you approach it? Or like, can you share anything specific?
Yeah. So we started out very basic, right? We had a few ideas about it, and we just put that prompt. I think there's some key aspects to it. One is, obviously, framing the question a certain way, so it's not too biased, as in like, what's good about HomeToGo? And then you only focus on that, but try to be objective in terms of how you set up the prompt. Second is to observe how results are surfaced. So is that something that models typically answer just based on their world knowledge and based on their training data? Or do they also perform searches? And if they do, what sources do they use, right? So I didn't mention that previously, but this, I think partly I mentioned the first tracking prompt led to then understanding how we're doing. It led to understand what sources are being used for answering some of those prompts we care about. And then we built the tactical roadmaps for internal our content teams, but also our PR teams. So where we saw gaps, for example, of competitors being listed in relevant articles, and because we had a PR team that has already plenty of relationships with journalists set up, we could use those, right? So it was an extension of their work almost, having the ability now to understand how LLMs AI search are thinking about prompts. And so that was added. I think that was good and working. And we see that content we built also made it into sources. It pushed visibility. So I think there's some evidence that the approach is working. Nevertheless, with regards to consistency, I think after the setup, it's a probabilistic a topic and an algorithm underneath, right? So you can't expect always the same answer based on the same question. I think that's something that we haven't quite 100% figured out, but we also think more about directional results, right? So rather than, I don't know, putting a numeric value behind it, we would just understand how the answers are changing over time and if something we did has influenced it. So it is more about the sentiment, maybe, of the answer rather than the answer has to be specifically always 100% the same, because we know and see that it isn't. And we also see that, and I think Malte has talked about this multiple times with his team, PKI, that model algorithms are also changing, right? The variety of how often they do search and do fan out queries and search and highlight search results and surface search results is somewhat changing over time. And so it makes the tracking a little bit trickier, but also not impossible, right? And again, it's not about super specific word by word correctness, but things like overall sentiment, I think PKI's sentiment analysis that we use for that, but more so running these, and then not even on a daily level, but even on a monthly level, to see if some of the actions we have done are starting to influence it. And that's maybe some practical tips around it, to not go too scientific in the beginning, but rather trying to understand the themes and then break them down for you internally and measure results after having taken some action.
And which interfaces, like in terms of AI search interfaces, do you see as relevant for you? Not necessarily only connected to the sentiment tracking, also in terms of the general tracking, because, I mean, there's obviously this talk of the town, I'd say, of ChatGPT basically overtaking Google. And I think everybody that looks at a couple of actual data points knows that the growth is insane and it's like come to stay, but that Google isn't going anywhere. And then I'd recently spoke to Malte from PKI about Perplexity, where he was a little bit surprised, he was not surprised, because he said Perplexity has no moat. So seeing the usage numbers of Perplexity going down was something that he felt like is probably inevitable to happen. Mm-hmm. But I'd like to get your opinion on what is relevant. Is it AI overviews, AI mode, ChatGPT, Perplexity, Gemini? Because there are so many options for people to track.
Yeah. It's a good question. I don't want to answer again with it depends. I think that's it's almost an SEO disease, I think, to say.
Yeah. SEOs are turning into lawyers, actually, you know? Yeah. I noticed that heavily, that we started to do a lot of lawyer talk. Like, it depends. You have to look at it.
Never be specific. Never give anything away. Just say it depends.
Yeah, exactly.
What we do is, on top of search prompt and brand entity tracking, is to measure referring traffic from LLMs. I mean, that's the hardest currency we have. And like, how many users did we actually get from ChatGPT, from Gemini, from Claude, etc. What you can see there, I think, is mirroring almost completely all the market share benchmarks you see out there, that the vast majority of traffic is coming from ChatGPT. Now, I think what is hidden in those numbers is that I think Gemini, I think Google disclosed in last earnings calls, was like 600, 700 million or so monthly active users now. So catching up with ChatGPT. But I think that's inclusive of AI overviews, AI mode, and their ability of distributing their products right to the users on search, right? You can see search converging, ultimately classic search with AI mode search is converging further and further. I think you click on AI overviews now on search and see more, you're getting directly into AI mode. Right, on desktop, for example, AI mode is already the standard button. If you hit enter, you still get regular search results, but if you know the button is or AI mode, so you click, you get into AI mode. And so you can see that experience converging further and further. And so I think a large amount of users that are using AI mode and AI overviews that engage with those anyway, and then the few that actually do click out they're then disguised as Google referrer, right? So we won't know. And on top of that, I think there's a large amount of users that we can't even track. So even tracking, right? Like we all were grown up in an area where performance marketing was, or performance marketing era, where we were able to track everything, like every single touch point. I think that's gotten a lot more opaque now. I think platforms make it harder and harder to track users coming from their platforms to your website, the few that still do. And so we, for example, also see that. Right? Like not only has referral traffic massively increased from LLM, so that growth you were talking about, we definitely see that in the numbers. I think year on year, it's crazy. But we also see that, you know, that traffic is not growing as much anymore. So there seems to be some sort of seasonality now that usually happens in our industry. Also be present in the numbers coming from LLMs. And so we don't necessarily think about, you know, we need to optimize now for Gemini or for ChatGPT or for Claude. We really think about, all right, how can we influence our like off Home2Go platform visibility together, right? And almost like we approached building search visibility over the years, which was not really saying, oh, we do it for Google or for Bing or for Yandex or Cezanne or other search engines. Like we follow the approach and others converge. And I think this is how I would think about this as well. That said, I know the majority of users come from ChatGPT. We see it in the numbers. It's the biggest consumer brand in my mind, based on the numbers out there. And the marketplace side where I'm sitting on within Home2Go Group is also consumer brand. So I see there's a big overlap there why we tend to focus on ChatGPT in terms of visibility measurements, not so much on Perplexity, to be honest. And then, Gemini and Google, as said, I think it's hard to differentiate between the exact surface on Google that users came from. And given everyone is somehow using Google search results anyway, I think it all comes back to that. So if we do well on Google, then we are not doing too bad on these other surfaces that leverage those results.
Maybe a question around bridging the two main topics we focused on, a product and then the like AI search, visibility tracking, etc. ChatGPT has recently made the move to integrate more and more apps basically into the ChatGPT product. Also, for example, booking.com. So I'm not 100% aware if it's already live in Germany or the EU, but it seems that this is a strategy where they just want to bring the interfaces from well-known brands and products to the ChatGPT product. Mm-hmm. Is this also something that you could see happening for Home2Go, or maybe is there already something happening that you can share? So what's your take on this, bringing the products into the AI chatbots?
Yeah, definitely something we are working on. I actually looked at a demo, I think 2 days ago, on an MCP Home2Go alpha product, if you will. That brings our inventory and search experience onto platforms. Maybe to zoom out a little bit from that, I think I'm not too sure if everyone's aware of like the OTA space, but I think the number of times OTAs and platforms have been pronounced dead is correlating with how many times SEO has been called dead. Similar approach, right? Always the fear of disintermediation, the next disruption, technical disruption, will, you know, surface more direct results and pull more, you know, direct supply, et cetera. I think there's some truth in there, right? And at the same time, how we think about it is that with regards to platforms, that platform shift, and by the way, I think OpenAI is like there's some internal memos. I think Pip Klöckner mentioned it in one of his podcasts as well. It's pretty clear that they want to become the next operating system, right? Like ChatGPT and the likes, they want to be your standard choice and then route any type of action, task, question from there on. Which means that I think for us, this is an opportunity to bring our really good inventory, good pricing, good you know, curation, ultimately data quality, user reviews, etc., to that space, right? think there's strategic decisions to be made to what extent. I believe Amazon has decided to not allow Perplexity, in your example, to use any of their data because they have more to lose than to win, right? Like they want to keep the user within their ecosystem. If anything, they want to use their bot Rufus in order to go shopping on third-party platforms, right? So going against their strategy. And I think there's others in the market, larger OTAs potentially, that will go along the same line. So, you know, making the connection to, is this the end of the platform and the marketplace as we know it? I wouldn't call it the end of the day yet. There's a few things we notice as well as disruptions overall. Adoption takes time right now. It's like there are some users using OpenAI, Gemini, AI search in general for discovery. We see this because of what I mentioned earlier, the quality of users, et cetera, and the quality of traffic is higher. There's less coming, but the ones that are coming that seem to have already made some decisions, at least, and looking for options. And so it's making sure we influence that decision-making and having narratives in place for that to happen as much as we can. Ultimately, I think there's a lot that protects platforms, nevertheless, right? It's our supplier relationships we built over years. If you look at the supply side of Home2Go, it's very different aggregation levels from the single host to a small property manager that's managing a few properties to hundreds, to thousands, to tens of thousands, to larger OTA partners. And I don't even know if platforms have the incentives to build integrations with all of those, right? And the product then, I think, stands and falls with the amount of choice you have, the inventory you present. Ultimately, also, a lot goes wrong in travel, right? Like we know this from our customer service requests. I can see use cases of users using AI search to book, but do I want to risk my annual family vacation with my wife and kids and leave it to ChatGPT? What if something goes wrong? You know, I'm the one to blame. So this might not age well, but I would think that there are some products and categories that are maybe more affected by this first. So anything that's easily comparable, right? Like e-commerce, I buy, a Samsung phone. Plenty of suppliers. It's all about price. It's, you know, about delivery speed. It's about like maybe custom, right? Like it's a lot easier to compare versus vacations are quite tailored. Right? Like what I want is very different to what someone else's want. And so while I see there are some use cases where I book the same hotel always again, again, and again, maybe let my agent do that in the future. And we certainly want to be present and test and learn with our MCP and bringing that into LLMs, but that the majority of users are now bypassing marketplaces and our curation, the trust they build, that we provide, right, like payment options, all of that, and sending their agents directly to the property manager. I'd say at least not in the near future that I can see that.
So could you see a future where, for example, what you did as a platform to the very scattered inventory that is obviously out there. So if you think about, I have to go to all the individual hosts they have, like, don't want to front anyone here, but maybe rather scrappy WordPress websites, etc. So you basically did the heavy lifting of a platform to create the inventory, make a great user experience for people, have great pricing, as you said. So could you see a future where, on top of that, having a ChatGPT that has access to your whole inventory and is also tailored more towards enabling people to ask more specific questions about it, so not just very generic? Because I feel like so far it hasn't been done. So what we had was always things with instant checkout, etc. So I think it never really worked. Like Meta also discontinued it last year. Now, obviously, everybody's super hyped about the agent-to-agent protocol and the ACP and UCP and blah, blah, blah protocol. So could you imagine a future where I can ask ChatGPT and then ChatGPT goes to Home2Go and basically I have a full conversation with my family around the table. We have ChatGPT in the middle of the table speaking to it. And it's basically our personalized travel guide based on the heavy lifting data inventory, et cetera, that Home2Go provided? And it was a long question.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, certainly, right? I wouldn't want to rule it out. Hence why we're also preparing for it by making inventory available to AI search surfaces and platforms. So MCP is one, you know, UCP, agent to agent, you name it. So we want to make sure that for the use cases that make sense for us as a group, as a business, but also for our users that are requesting it, that we can serve it. Right now, I think the integration that you have to download an app within the AI search app stores, it's not very seamless. I would think that only a small share of users actually do that. But the more it becomes standard, the more to use, let's say, ChatGPT and the likes as your first stop, the more context and data and knowledge your assistant has about you, I think the more compelling it also is as a use case, right, to use it. And certainly, I think types of searches that are around which destination should I choose and where should I go and where is it warm in winter, for example, that's already happening. And we see that in the data, right? That's already traffic that's left, and publishers are seeing less and less of that because it's exactly the type of questions you just ask. Now, the last step, so to say, to the booking, sure. Probably, right? Like I can see a future where that happens for some use cases, but I can also see abilities for platforms to make it more attractive to go and book directly, right? So for example, we have mobile rates with some of our suppliers. So if you book an app rate, so if you book through your phone, we give you, and through your app, we give you a better price than if you booked on desktop. And we know that, and we do that because we want, and we know that users that use the app are more loyal overall. So we want to incentivize and encourage that. And so I could also think of strategies where you use those platforms as another channel, like, you know, search is one now, AI search is one later. And almost like a segue or, you know, an ability to attract them, ultimately give them an incentive to book directly with you though, right? Like, I can see that happening as well. I don't think it's black and white, like it will happen, will not happen. I think it will be very nuanced. And I'd assume that platforms will, like us included, will have good instruments as well to make sure that our interests are still kept, that, you know, the share that is paid then probably as type of an affiliate commission is also a fair share based on the value delivered. So few considerations, but definitely preparing for that type of future with the setup of MCP and the likes.
Would you agree that the current time is one of the most exciting times since basically SEO has become a thing?
Yeah, definitely. I said that to someone, I can't remember last, like a few months ago, actually, that SEO has always evolved and always changed. But it never changed that much. Maybe besides, you know, very early days where all of a sudden the algo was like flipping on its head and, you know, there's a lot of, well, volatility overall. But in terms of like fundamental changes, I feel like this is the biggest fundamental change to, well, probably our society in total, but zooming in definitely also to SEO. And it also creates interesting, debates, right? Like we can all see this on SEO, LinkedIn and X and so on, where we have heavy debates about should it be called geo or AEO or is it SEO? Is that all encompassing? And, you know, is it same tactics? Is it different tactics? And I feel a bit like that. I think Mike King mentioned this as one of his topics. I think it's a bit of a missed opportunity. So yes, let's figure that out. But I think the more interesting question and the more interesting application of this is to think about, okay, so we as teams and organizations, how can we drive that change? Right? And it's leading a bit back to what we discussed earlier in terms of setup. Because if your team is already set up that way and has worked in the unity between PR, content creation, management, and SEO in the past, I think maybe there's not much change. There's more tactical change. And then you can debate about, you know, all the content optimization and chunking and slicing and dicing, like to what extent you want to play that. But in terms of in terms of organizational setup, you're already one step ahead of others that, let's say, SEO is its own channel or is part of marketing. You have a dedicated PR team. You maybe have a dedicated content team. You don't have aligned goals to incentivize teams to also work on that. All of a sudden, it is an exciting opportunity, but how do we go about it? And I think that's something that I don't see that much discussed. Like, what is the reality in companies and what needs to change in terms of team setup, incentive structures, leadership and change management in order to enable teams also to work together and make sure that, you know, they can A, understand how we're doing, then, you know, maybe build the product features, product marketing narratives or content landing pages in order to influence that is something that I think I'm more interested in and would like to discuss and find out a bit more how others are doing it. And I think it's also sort of underneath the narrative. So my interpretation is teams that have been already organized in this way, and Form to Go is one of those. Like, we have always approached it as, okay, it's PR, it's data-led storytelling, it's press coverage, and it's making sure that this is also reflected then within the product and paired with, like, you know, a good landing experience. Those teams don't see much of a change. For them, it's a natural extensions versus if you were very focused on maybe just on-site and off-site and you know, authority building and brand building is nothing you've ever been in contact with, then it's much more of a change and needs, I think more of a change process to enable that. And it's maybe then also driving part of the discussions we are seeing.
Felix, I know that you are very passionate about this topic, but I also know that you have a team to run at Home2Go. So I want to wrap up our conversation a little bit. And I have a final question for you that maybe could also work as a segue, actually, to do an update episode a couple of months down the road. So my final question is, and I bluntly stole this from Lenny's podcast from the US, what didn't we talk about that we should have talked about?
Good question. Maybe very specific, but one thing that I'm not sure if it was Lenny actually or another podcast newsletter I read this in, but I thought about this quite a bit since then, is one of our, and I give you some context first, so one of our aha moments almost when I did this exercise of tracking our brand associations within LLMs, also compared to larger or other OTAs. One of the findings was that we were often identified as price leader, as someone that would have good pricing. And why is that? Because we are coming from a meta search history and legacy at Home2Go. That was how we started. And then we built all these services on top. Users could book, check out, contact customer service, use our payment, etc. over time, right? So we closed that gap, if you will. But I found that interesting that the association, because of the meta search positioning back then, is still price comparison. And it made me thinking of what if we leaned into you know, more of our strength rather than trying to fix our weaknesses. And I think that would be my question. So, you know, isn't that a strategy that things we're already doing well, we double down on and do better rather than trying to fix weaknesses or, you know, things that we aren't. And I think that's something I like to talk about maybe in a different episode.
That definitely gives food for thought, basically, for everyone, no matter for AI search or just in general in terms of company strategy. Yeah. So, Felix, thanks so much for taking the time, for sharing so much. I feel like you're not doing this often, so I'm very, very happy that you agreed to do it. And I feel like there was so much in for people, not only in marketplace business models, but also in general, how to navigate an organization through that shift of one of the biggest changes we have in this ecosystem since ever. So thanks so much for that. If people want to follow you, what is the best place to do that?
LinkedIn is probably best to follow and to contact. And if there's specific questions also, then happy to also respond by email or so.
Awesome. And otherwise, maybe if people are watching this and looking for a new opportunity, probably Home2Go has always interesting opportunities across probably not only product, but also other areas. So go check out Home2Go, I don't know, .com/jobs or /career, probably something like that.
Correct. Yeah. And also reach out directly. We are, in fact, actually looking for a principal product manager right now in my team to drive some of those topics I mentioned in the beginning.
Nice.
And if you are looking, if this sounded interesting, then yes, please do reach out.
Cool. We will put the links into the description below. Felix, thanks so much. I think, we will watch the space closely. I will watch what Home2Go is doing closely. And then let's see if we'll do a catch up in a couple of months.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me. I had a lot of fun and great discussion.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Yeah, bye.